Well, summer must be here. It's warm in here to start with. But also it must be here because I knew that this week it was time for me to go down to the community thrift shop and get my summer supply of novels. I do it once a year, and I love my Kobo. You know, I enjoy reading on it during the rest of the year, but it's really wonderful to have less screen time during my vacation. And there's nothing as relaxing as curling up in a hammock or sitting by the campfire with a good novel. And if you're stranding your tent during a rainstorm, it's also handy to have a few novels with you. And perhaps this happens to you occasionally, but I am also struck, more so when I read an actual physical book than online, by the way the author writes, by the words the author uses, the style. And it just, I don't know, for some reason it pops out to me more than when it's on paper than when it's on a screen. It's fascinating and sometimes irritating. And today's readings are kind of like that. They're full of imagery and advice and very different genres of writing. And one small, very small word, a very normal word, caught my attention. The word but. B-U-T. But. I have an ambivalent relationship with the word but, because I tend to discount everything that comes before it. You know, oh, Beth, that was a great sermon, but you really screwed up on the blessing. Well, I forget the fact that someone said something nice about the first part. It always happens, especially with compliments. But it's one of those things. I focus on the first part. But it is a word that stops you in your tracks and calls you to pay attention, if you pay attention. It's a word that can speak of the Holy Spirit as the direction of one's thoughts or actions changes instantly with the use of the word but. And today in the readings, they accumulate one upon the other, and they lead us from a way of being to another way of being. They lead us from a focus on ourselves to a focus on serving the world. And they also can lead us, those buts, from procrastination to action. Elisha, told by Elijah to stay put. He's told, stay there, don't go, don't come with me. And each time, Elisha responds with, I will not leave you. Elisha's probably sticking like glue to his mentor, undoubtedly out of love, but also because he's probably terrified. What is going to be expected of him? What is he going to do once Elijah is gone? And so Elijah, perhaps to console Elisha, asks him what he can do for him. Today we'd probably say, here, have some Paxil or smoke some cannabis. Calm down, Elijah. But in those days, what can I do for you is perhaps a different offer. And Elisha says, I would like a double portion of your spirit. A very difficult request and a very wise one. And Elijah says that if Elisha sees him being taken up, it will be granted. And if not, well, it won't. Elisha is overcome and he keeps crying out to his father and talking about the horseman that he sees. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into pieces. That but was a spirit moment, the moment of recognition, the moment of reckoning, the moment of acceptance, the moment in which his grief turned into purpose and he changed from a follower to a leader. Elisha's request asked for a very greater thing in his life. And when it was given to him, the Spirit moved within him, and he in that moment took on a mantle of new responsibility. We are asked and invited to think, what great things, God, are you going to do through me today? That's our boss. Every time we hear the request and we say, but, we need to think about the fact that we are called to move from one way of being to another in those moments. Paul is a master of the buts in all of his writings. And in Galatians this morning, we have a couple of them. It's a good thing, because we need some spirit moments in Paul's writings, and we especially need one today. Because we are reminded of all the things that we're really good at. You know that list that you got to read there, Maura? Fornication, idolatry, there's all sorts of them. Anything you don't like to do, it's in here. Anything you think you shouldn't do, it's in there. But in this case, the but is used to encourage us. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. Remember, there's something else you can do. There's something else you can remember, that we're meant to be people who care for one another, those we know and those we don't know. And then he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. In other words, if you're actually living in the Spirit, you're going to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. And it's absolutely true. There are no laws against those things, are there? There are no laws against love, or joy, or patience, or kindness, or generosity, or faithfulness, or gentleness, or self-control. Those things we have complete freedom in. And that way of living in the Spirit opens up to us the world in all its diversity and frees us from focusing only on ourselves, frees us from those other vices that we do and that keep us focused totally on our own egos. And instead, this freedom brings us the opportunity to have more unity and community in our world. And that challenges us to let go of our own laws and be more open, more flexible. And the more we live in the fruits of the Spirit, the better, because that means we are living more and more in the care of others. And so Paul's buts lead us from a focus on ourselves to a focus on serving the world. Now, the disciples are an interesting crew. We've heard lots of wonderful stories about them this year, about their fears, their hopes, their dreams, and in some cases, their retribution, like this morning. The crowd doesn't accept Jesus. And so the disciples say to him, Lord, do you want us to command some fire to come down from heaven and consume them? You can just see them. Oh, yeah, we get to show some power here. You've trained us well. We're going to annihilate these people. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. And in that moment, they were reminded in the Spirit of who they were actually meant to be following. And a couple other people said, well, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, yeah, you all have homes, foxes, and birds of the air, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, the only place I really live is through you. We get our personal marching orders. Because a couple other disciples say the usual. Oh yeah, I'll follow you, but first, let me go and bury my dead. But first. How many times have you said that? It's okay, you don't have to actually confess how many times. But we focus a lot on that. Yes, I'll do that, but first, I have to do this. Or I think I do. How many opportunities have we missed in our lives because we were too scared and we used the words, oh yes, but first. And then, of course, it's too late by the time we get around to it. Or it's forgotten. Or we've avoided it. The but firsts in our lives are perhaps the most dangerous because they keep us in our old habits, in our old ways, and not at all paying attention to the gift of the Spirit in that moment. Saying not, but first, but I'm ready. That's what Jesus needed the disciples to say. I'm ready. No, but first let's go kill a few people. No, but first let's go bury a few people. No, but first let's do something else. No, I'm ready to follow you, and no matter what that means, I'm going to do it. So in today's readings, the buts are really important. They're really tiny, and they can be really irritating. But because that's when the Spirit moves. The Spirit makes us pause and gives us a chance every time to hear a different message. It gives us a chance to be led from one way of being to another. It gives us an opportunity to see that we don't have to just be focused on ourselves, but that we're actually called to care and serve for the world. And it certainly stops us, the Spirit, long enough to say, stop procrastinating, move, be active, make a course, do what I'm asking you to. Eugene Peterson wrote The Message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, and he translates the last verse of this morning's gospel as the following. No procrastination. No backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. May every but you encounter all summer help you be seized by the Spirit and help you seize the day.